Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I'm glad that He is. Today is Wednesday, November the 3rd, 2021. Another wonderful year that the Lord our God has made. Thanksgiving Day is coming up, and I'm always thankful for what the Lord our God is up to. He's for us, not against us. He's a blessing, not a curse. And I thank God that He is God. I love Him. And I love His ways. I love His will. I love His word. And I love His people. And I love to see His people that embraced the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the Holy Spirit. I love to see people relate to the Holy Spirit. I love to see people enjoy the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and relate His word. It always amazes me, and I learned this over the years, that anybody that receive His word can say something so unique that it may never be known by others. Well, what I'm saying is, people can learn things from the Lord that nobody else will learn. And I've heard children say things that the Lord put on their heart, and or just people that just draw near to the Lord. You can learn something from the Lord that others will probably never learn or think about. And if that's not true, it sure seems that way, because I've been studying the Word since 1983. That was the year I got saved, so that was the year I became a Bible student. Now, I heard the Word more than that, but my mother would show me things in the Word of God, and I embraced her insights. But I started studying for myself in 83. And since that time, I've learned a lot from the Lord. He said things to me, and I speak beyond my years a lot. You know, if you listen to these broadcasts, people say, "That's a smart guy." No, I'm not that smart. I'm not smarter than anybody else. I mean, than others. But when the Holy Spirit reveals wisdom, that came from the Holy Spirit. I'm just a vessel. Sometimes the way the anointing works is the anointing is a gift. It's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task, which means that wherever I lack, the anointing takes over and enables me to do what I do. The things that I speak that I can't know of myself, that's the Holy Spirit. And I love it when other people speak by the Holy Spirit. The problem is when you try to share the wonderful knowledge of the Holy Spirit and the people of God don't want it. That's puzzling. That's what I was talking about yesterday. And that comes from the logic of seducing spirits. In other words, seducing spirits, that doctrine is so subtle, it'll creep in unawares, just like the false prophets do. And once it's embraced, it grows. And it hinders you from learning. It steals your appetite for knowing God. It gives you a false narrative. It causes you to see things in an inactive way. Then when the truth comes, you don't have appetite to embrace it. So that's why people don't proceed forward. The only way to destroy the lies of the seducing spirits or the false narratives that they provided us with is more light. When people live the light, they live far above the snake line. And it needs to happen in a way where everybody see it. That way the people that's deceived can come out of it if they want to. But if they're in pride, they won't. They'll act like the Pharisees that hated Jesus. See, the Pharisees is a picture of people that were seduced by seducing spirits. And dealing with the devil is so, the darkness is so slick. They managed to turn the people of God that were students of the word into a doctrine of a devil without them knowing it. So that when the real word came, they had a false narrative that they believed more, and they hated the real word because he was doing what God could do and they couldn't do it. I don't say these things lightly or pleasantly. These are facts, folks. This is how it is. I wondered for years, why wouldn't people, you know, when I heard the word preachers, the men of God that were hearing from God and teaching his word, teaching people faith, I thought that whatever comes from God would be received, but that's not the case. And I say that sadly, but the Lord put me in a position to see this firsthand and experience it. And I said, we got a problem. And they can't see the problem. The seducing spirits put people in a, you know, if people follow the false narratives, they end up in a bad condition. And they can't get out of it. It takes more light. And many people are this way. And they can't proceed forward. Are they saved? Many people are saved. They still say they're still in God's word. They don't have a comparison. And they can't connect the dots unless they fill their heart with the word and ask the Lord to guide them out of it. And, you know, when people are, when they hold the truth in unrighteousness, that's when they get judged. Now, the doctrines of devils, that's obvious. The doctrines of devils can't take a, they can, they cannot take a make a stronghold where there is light. You have to choose darkness over the light for the doctrines of devils to work in your life. But it can't persuade the whole church. But many people give heed to it because they don't have the love for the truth. They don't pursue the word of God for themselves. They don't relate to the Lord. So when people say things in the name of Scripture, they swallow it. And just like the Jews that were off track, they had swallowed the hook of the seducing spirits. They were trying to promote Judaism, which was a, they turned it, you know, Judaism was right until Christ came. When Christ came, he fulfilled the law in their eyes. You're supposed to shift gears and go with God. Judaism never expected to fulfill the law. But the word of God was showing us that we needed a savior. That's the purpose of the law, to show us that we needed a savior, to make us aware that we needed Jesus. Here comes Jesus. The multitudes came and got blessed by him. And some of those were sincere. A remnant of them was sincere. And a lot of them, they just wanted the fish and the loaves. See, the Lord always had to divide light from darkness all along. He's about to do it again. The post-rapture world will see a modern rendition of God choosing light over darkness. Everything he leaves behind is darkness. Whatever gets caught off guard is darkness. That not one mistake would be made. So, if you consider this, it's just like when Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me. And most of the multitude left. And he had a real remnant that remained. But the rest of them left and didn't come back. Some of his genuine, some of his followers, they left too. Now, Jesus didn't do like modern day preachers. He turned to his own disciples, said, will you leave too? And Peter and the disciples said, we don't have anywhere else to go. Nobody has the words of life like you do. They said this before they were clear on what Jesus was up to. They trusted him from the heart, just like the real remnant will do. When Jesus taught them that he was going to die at the hands of the Romans, Peter said, be it far from you. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. They didn't understand the full mission of Jesus, but they followed him regardless. He had to wash their feet to show them kingdom principles so they have a comparison against worldly kingdoms. See, in this world, And that's a good example. In this world, you are the kings are treated, the kings are served. But in the kingdom of God, the greatest servant are the greatest people. And Jesus washed their feet, and they got the point. They understood the way of love. And then after that, after he washed their feet, you didn't hear about their petty jealousies anymore. They got it. More light will kill the doctrines of devils and expose the lies of the seducing spirits for what they are. See, the disciples themselves had problems with seducing spirits too. They had a false visual. They had a false narrative. Jesus had to wash their feet for them to come out of it. Now, people who love God and draw near to him, the Holy Spirit worked with them and purge out the false narratives that they've taken on. It's true. Now, as this happened for me over the years, my strategy is to preach only what God give me and no more, so that I can preach a clean gospel. But I pay attention so the Lord can train me so I can drive out the darkness if there's anything there in my blind spot. Living in this world, expect things to be in your blind spot, because this is a nasty world and you have to reject it. And a lot of people don't teach rejecting it, so a lot of people don't reject darkness and false narratives. They just ride with it or say nothing about it as they see it. But when the Holy Spirit show it to you, deal with it according to the way God leads you to deal with it. You know, you have to deal with things. Things don't just fade away. Darkness don't just fade away. You have to drive it out. As you learn about it, drive it out. Ask the Lord to help you preach a clean message, live a clean life. But as you see darkness for what it is, drive it out. It has no business there in our lives. And I love the Holy Spirit. I love his ways. His word is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be received, like we talked about yesterday in James 3. Now today the Lord gave me Isaiah 10. When people share false narratives and it gets to be a stronghold in doctrines of devils, the Lord gave Isaiah this. This is just before the king of Assyria raided Israel. Isaiah said, "Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment and to take away the right from the poor, my people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory?" People were getting rich off people's demise and rejoicing in it. They were sowing the wind, and they were just about to reap the whirlwind. Here comes the king of Assyria. And the question was asked, when he comes, when the day of visitation comes, when the Lord visits you for your, when he visits you, and pay you back and judge your deeds. He said, "What will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far, from away, from a far country? To whom will you flee for help?" Where are you going to go now? And where will you leave your glory? This is the problem with being rude to people. On a government level, people are, you know, in our country, they abort babies. They want to abort babies. The politicians are so greedy for power that they agree with this madness. You know, this is horror movie madness, abortion is. And they do people any kind of way. They are brutal. Murdering babies. If you're a murderer of baby, you don't care nothing about the people. After a while, it'll be within the law to euthanize old people. They even wanted to pass a law where you could abort a child that was born. I mean, murder a child that was actually born and breathing on its own. And if you think the politicians are bad, the people are worse. They keep voting them in. See, evil don't last forever. It's got to be judged. Now, Satan made this. He said, what's that old, that lying statement that he made? No good thing lasts forever. All good things come to an end. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God is good. He lasts forever. The earth is going to last forever. The meek will inherit the earth. So all good things last forever. And we were made righteousness. We're not righteous of our own. We're not good. We were made righteous. And we agree with that righteousness. And we fulfill the law by the love of God. And those, the true remnant will live forever upon the earth. And Satan is going to be under our footstool. And all of his tribe, his dead bone tribes. Now, but it's a lie from the pit that all good things come to it. I hear so many people should never say that. That's a lie from hell itself. But every evil person will come to an end. One scripture said, you'll look for an evil man and won't be able to find him when the Lord get through judging the wicked. And after the last enemy is destroyed, which is death, there won't be any more evil people. Death won't have a purpose anymore. The purpose of death is to get rid of every evil man, woman, boy, and girl. Demon, fallen angel, and everything wicked. When that's all complete, then there'll be no more use for death. He'll be out of business. That's the last enemy that will be destroyed. So evil eventually comes to an end. And see, the Lord is when the judgment hammer falls on this country, it's not going to be the country you know now. The post-rapture world, the Lord's going to take his people off the earth. My father-in-law, he used to cure meat. In his garage, he had a pig that was cut up. And he poured rock salt all over it to cure it. Before they had refrigeration, they had smoke houses and they had salt. That's it. They didn't have refrigeration. So when they killed meat, they cured it and you ate it. And they kept the smoke house going. And it was good, but they didn't have refrigerators. Now, if you take any meat and don't put salt on it, don't eat it because it will kill you. It will spoil. Now, when the Lord takes his people off the earth, the darkness will invade it. It's already covered in darkness. And a lot of things are going to happen that people are not used to. What's invisible will become visible. When you look at the Word of God, you understand that in within the Word of God, Jesus told us what was going to happen. There are going to be monsters on the earth, locusts, everybody that takes the mark of the beast. Locusts are going to come from wherever they are. The Bible gives us a description. They had hair like women, teeth like lions, a tail like a scorpion, body like a horse. I mean, this thing, they're going to come like a drove of locusts. The description of them is not what like the bug, like the insect. They're going to come like locusts. It's going to be enough to torment everybody out there. But they're going to attack those that took the mark. And people are going to try to die. And death will flee from them for 5 months. So if a man shoot himself, he's not going to die. I guess the poison from the locusts will keep him from. I don't know how this works. And I don't really care. I just don't want to see it. I don't want to see our country go down the tubes, but You cannot, nobody can stop sowing and reaping. Even God can't stop sowing and reaping. If whatever you reap, you will sow. If you sow evil, get saved and start following the Lord sincerely. You're still going to reap. The sowing that you did before will still affect your life. There were drug dealers that sold drugs for years. They got saved, preached the gospel, and died younger than they were supposed to. That I've seen it so many ways. People's lives were cut short because of the things that they did for so long. But the good news is they got saved and went to heaven. Apostle Paul threw Christians in jail. And everywhere he went, they so many places, not everywhere, but so many places he went, they put him in jail. And the Lord rescued him in jail. He said, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to jail. He went to Jerusalem, he went to jail. And they had people out to kill him. But by him appealing to Caesar, he had an army escort out of town. And they wasn't going to go to Rome with their mess. And they didn't. And he got up there, he appealed to Caesar, he preached the word up there, lived in a house, in his own house, until he was done. See, he was anointed for the Gentiles, not the Jews. The first 12 apostles, they were anointed to the Jew and to the Gentile. But Paul was not anointed for the Jews. When he went to the Jews, his anointing wouldn't handle that. He wasn't anointed for them. He was anointed for the Gentiles. You have to understand the protocols of God and stick with it. You can do mightily what you're anointed for. You can't do everything. I can't do everything. But I can fulfill the purpose that God has given me. And so can you. Whatever the Lord anoints you to do, you can do it. You have God's ability. You have his backing. You have his training. You have his guidance. And all you have to do is do your part. And it'll happen. You don't need people to give you money. You don't need people to make you don't have to appeal to man for anything. If you do what any preacher that do what they're supposed to do, the Lord will send them whatever they need. But you got to be willing to do your part. You know, remember something. When the priest went to the Lord in the temple, in the most holy place, they wore linen garments that don't cause sweat. This represents something. You cannot work for the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn it. You cannot merit it. You can't earn it. It's given to you as a grace. The anointing, salvation itself is a grace. The anointing is a grace. Spiritual gifts are grace. Fruits of the Spirit came from grace. You didn't sweat for that. Jesus sweat blood for that, not you. You're receiving the grace from God that you can't earn and don't deserve. I didn't do anything to deserve this anointing. God chose to give it to me. I'm washed in the blood. He wanted me to help him minister life to his people. He gave me the anointing to do it. So I can do my part. And the anointing is amazing all by itself. Some people get jealous of others because they're anointed and they can do something that they can't, or they can speak well, and people get upset with them. But think about it this way. The anointing is a grace given to do a mission. That's it. I want to do my part. God's helping me do it. I'm not smart. He is. I'm not sweating. I don't come up with this stuff. I do what God... This morning, the Lord gave me Isaiah chapter 10. Because our country is going to be judged. Because politicians and the people have done wrong. And he has to warn his people. He's warning those who are here that would pay him enough attention to listen to it and hear him out. And then when we're gone, I've been praying that the internet will stay up for a long time, long enough to, for people, because people, when the real people of God are gone, then people are going to, people being people, they're going to listen to whatever they said. And if they listen, they might have enough word in them to survive what they're about to go through. Now, that's my strategy. That's what I hope will happen. The people that God leave behind, if they repent and listen to the Lord, they might survive it. But the things that's going to happen is designed to embolden people in that darkness. The Lord said, I'm going to choose that delusion. They didn't want salvation. They didn't have the love of the truth. The Lord is going to send a strong delusion so that they will believe a lie. And when they believe that lie, they're gonna side with Satan. See, the Lord our God thinks ahead of time, way ahead of everything. He thinks ahead of things. And he loves his people, every one of us. But he's going to send strong delusion against those that love wickedness and hail the truth and unrighteousness. Judgment's going to happen against them. Strong delusion is going to happen to the people that didn't have the love for the truth. So he said in verse 3, this is Isaiah 10 and 3, what will you do in the day of visitation and in the desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Anybody that'll repent, it's not going to be when the Lord says strong delusion. Now let's look at that since I brought it up. That's Thessalonians 2 and 10. You know, I love the handiwork of God. God has to do something about rebellion. The judgment against rebellion is what's going on. All right, this is verse 7. I started verse 7. Thessalonians 2, 7. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's how the enemy is going to come. That's how the Antichrist will be. Then he said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. See, they're going to believe this liar. Now, look at this, verse 11. For this cause, let me read verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So the people who love pleasure more than righteousness, this is done so that they might be damned, which the word might means that they might be able to get out of it if they repent and believe the truth. I wouldn't risk that. I believe on God today. I wouldn't wait till everything goes south. Now, anybody that's truly deceived, this won't apply to them. People that didn't know, never heard the word. So people in the post-rapture days will, some people, the church was hindered from doing its job right, and everybody didn't hear the word. And then their children that were, the Lord had to leave them because they loved the world somewhere, and they were old enough to know better, but they didn't know everything. So some people are going to actually survive the tribulation, but they're going to go through a lot of turmoil. The survivors of it. All right. The earth will be reaped. They'll be left. They got to go through this foolishness. I think it was two or three churches that Jesus addressed said that talked about them avoiding the days of temptation. See, people want to put, depending on how people's doctrine is, they preach it the way that they do. There's a doctrine out there, a false doctrine, that says once saved, always saved. Well, that's not true, because the Laodicean church once had salvation and they left. Some of the churches, they would miss out. The Lord would keep them from the hour of temptation, or from the days of darkness. You know, the lukewarm church is going through it. The backslidden church is going through it. Just like the remnant, when Jesus said, "If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me." A multitude of people left, the falling away. There's always a separation, a sortation, a falling away. Don't let it bother you. It's got to happen. It's important that it does happen. But there's always a remnant that clings to the Lord, even if they don't understand everything. Now, they'll be raptured and gone. That's the salt of the earth. The rest of it is no good. And the church is going to hate the whore. The whore, they were hard. They knew better, but they loved the world. And they're going to hate the whore. Every country is going to hate the Christians they got left. And then their hatred is satanic. Their hatred is satanically charged. So, even though you're backslidden and you love the world too, enough not to do what God said, the world's still going to hate you. Consider these things. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in.